Turn around and tell somebody these words. We are family. I got all my sisters with me. All righty. So those of you that are 50 and older, you might have remembered that. We are family. Amen. The whole family in heaven and earth is named that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be. This is not a text. This is a prayer. Oh, God, that you would grant according to the riches of your glory to be strengthened with might by his spirit in the what man? The inner man. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and the length and the depth and the height, and to know the love of God which passes knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now verse 20 and 21 is what I'm going to hone in on this part of the prayer, and I want us all to pray this right now. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be a little louder, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. Father, anoint your servant to preach the word. We'll give you praise for it. And everybody said amen. High five somebody as you're being seated tonight. Come on, let them know that you're glad to see them tonight. Amen. Praise God. Now, one more time, give the Lord a hand of praise tonight. Amen. Lord, we praise you. We bless you tonight. Our pastor has been talking about knowing God. One of the greatest books that you'll ever read is The Pursuit of God by A.W. Tozer, other than the Word of God, of course. And there's no greater way to know God. In fact, I may preach this next Sunday, but there's no greater way to know God than in intense, sincere, persistent, humble, believing, daily prayer. Let me repeat that. No better way to know God than through intense, sincere, persistent, humble, believing, daily, and consistent prayer. In our text tonight, we have an ear as the apostle bends his knee in prayer to Almighty God for mighty needs. You know, we have mighty needs tonight. Many needs, mighty needs, but we have an almighty God and he has mighty answers for us. And I don't have time to really, exposit this entire prayer. I've done it before. I'd like to do it in the future, but go back in your Bible and just kind of take your finger and just walk with me through this prayer. Notice the humility of this prayer. Go back to verse 14. It says, I bow on my knees. And it may be not so much physically, but the posture of prayer. When we come before God in humility, we may bow physically or we may bow in a spirit of obeisance unto the Lord. He says, I bow on my knee, and man stands no taller than when he bows on his knees. If you want to know God, I'm here to tell you preaching is good, teaching is good, reading a book is good, reading the Word of God is the greatest, but really that and prayer is the way to know God. Humility of the prayer. Notice in verses 15 through 19, the heart of the prayer. It is verse 16, a prayer for enablement that he would grant you. God wants to enable us. He wants to grant to us answers to prayer, power for our need. He wants to enable you to be the person God wants you to be, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by the Spirit in the inner man. Not only the enablement of the prayer, but look at verse 17, the enthronement of this prayer, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. Jesus must be the Lord of all. If he's not the Lord of all, he's not the Lord at all. Put him on the throne of your heart. Not a person, not a singer, not a boyfriend, girlfriend, not a pastor even. We honor those. Not a bishop or a pope. But on the throne of my heart is the Lord Jesus Christ. And when he's on the throne of your heart, praise God, you can know God. Can you give him a hand of praise tonight? Amen. Enablement enthronement. Look at verse 17b through 19. There's enlightenment, that you being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all saints. In other words, I can learn a lot on my own, but I can learn so much more with all of the saints. You can teach me about what you've learned, and you can teach me. The pastor can teach me. We can learn together the enlightenment. What is the length and the breadth and the depth and the height? And by the way, this is an eternal process. This is not a class we'll ever graduate or walk across the stage from. A billion years from tonight, we're still going to be enlightened with the knowledge of God that gets greater and greater. And then not only enablement and enthronement and enlightenment. Look at verse 19. It is enlargement, that you may be filled with the fullness of God. God wants to enlarge our territory. He wants to expand the borders of faith in our life. He doesn't want us just to stay on yesterday's stale bread. He wants to enlarge our capacity to receive more of His God. Somebody say there's more. Turn around and tell somebody there's more for you tonight. Tell somebody that. Preach. Help me preach tonight. Somebody say there's more for Westmoreland. Hallelujah. I want to know God in this house tonight. I believe if we'll know God, we'll see the answers. God will give direction and God will give enlargement, and we will feel His almighty power. Can you say amen tonight? That's the heart of that prayer, the humility of that prayer. And then verses 20 through 21 is the hallelujah part of the prayer. This is like the 4th of July, the last 5 minutes. You know, 4th of July, and then at the last five, that's the way I do anyway. At the last 5 minutes, it's what? And you're like, oh, and when you get to the bottom part of this prayer of Paul, when you get down to that, now unto Him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above, man, it's like 4th of July. It's fire. Praise God. It gets better and better. Well, somebody give Him praise in this house tonight. Now, verse 20, brother, put it up there. Now unto Him that is able to do exceedingly, come on, say it out loud, abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, unto Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen and amen. Give Him a hand of praise tonight. What a prayer. What a prayer. And if you want to know God, prayer will do it. Amen. And there are three facts about God that I want to pull from this prayer. And I want you to know something. Notice what I'm saying. Three great facts. I didn't say they were the three greatest facts, nor did I say they were the three only facts. Because I don't know really the greatest facts about God. I don't know what they are. I know what a lot of the facts about God are, but there's a lot of things I don't understand about God. And notice I said they're facts. How many of you know there's a difference between fact and opinion? Amen? The fact is you got to do your homework. The opinion is it's too hard to do. Oh my God, it got dead as a doornail in here. Come on. Facts and opinions are different. Facts means truth. Opinion means feel. I feel it. I think it. I thought it. No. These are three great, say it with me, three great facts about God. Are you ready for number one? Say amen. God knows what's best. Fact number one tonight. Now unto Him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly. Go to verse 20. Go to verse 20, my brother. Exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. Now, the implication of this is that there are limitations on what we ask or think. Think about this. There is limitations. Because it says the word above, all that we can. The word above really means beyond. We're talking about the Beyond Conference down in Falcon. The pastor's encouraging us to go. And the reason they named that Beyond is because if you get some training and you get some tools and some guidelines and some inspiration, you can go beyond where you are. God wants us to go beyond where we are, amen, in our spirit and in our life. And so there are limitations upon our thinking. Oh, doesn't it bother you when you're around somebody who kind of knows it all? I mean, listen now, don't get too quiet on me tonight, amen. You ever met somebody that just had an answer for everything? And you know, we got to be humble about this thing, amen. I don't care how old we get or how much of the Bible we read, or if we read it through 15 times, that's wonderful, amen. But I'm still learning, amen. I'm still growing, amen. I have read it through 15 times, more than that. But I tell you what, just a few nights ago, I was reading the Bible and I learned something new, glory to God, and it changed my life. I still want to be changed. There are limitations to, and don't rob yourself of your own limitations of your thinking. Well, it'll never change, or I have to settle for this, or it'll no, sir, my friend. God wants to, one of the great facts about God is He knows what's best. You put it in His hands, and He can do above what you can. Put your limits to your thinking and your past and your hurt and your pain. God's in control if you let Him have control. Because I'm here to tell you, not mama knows best, not daddy knows best, not President Trump knows best, but I'm here to tell you God knows best. Can you say amen? We're limited. We're limited by ignorance. Ignorance. My people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge. Donald Rumsfeld, the Secretary of Defense under George W. Bush, that man was an amazing man. History will prove. He talked about having knowns and then having unknowns. And then he talked about having known unknowns. And then he famously said, does anybody know what the other part is? Unknown unknowns. Are y'all falling asleep yet? He was very wise in what he was saying. There's things we know. That's good. And then there's some things we don't know. Then there's things that we know we don't know. And then there's things we don't know that we don't know. And buddy, that's in bad shape. Can I get a witness out there? And I'm here to tell you, there's some unknown unknowns out there. But if you trust God, He knows what's best. Glory to God. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Reverse that scripture. My people are empowered when they know whom they have believed and persuaded that He is able to do exceedingly abundantly. You said give it all of God, right, Pastor? Amen. Hallelujah. There's a lot of things we don't know. Now, some people, we were doing an IQ test and over at East Carolina the other day, and they pulled one of the students out, and I'm a graduate of East Carolina. We'd all do, what's the word here? I'm just trying to tell you that I'm, with all due respect, that's right. But so did you know that ancient Egypt was inhabited by mummies who wrote in hieroglyphics? It's hieroglyphics. I just want you to know. They lived in the Sahara Desert, traveled by Camelot. Okay? No, not camels, not Camelot. Okay? Certain areas of the desert were cultivated by irritation. It's irrigation, all right? This is East Carolina, folks, all right? Amen. Then we learned that the first book of the Bible, Genesis, was what he said. The book of Genesis. Adam and Eve were created from an apple tree. One of their children, Cain, asked, am I my brother's son? After that, Pharaoh forced the Hebrew slaves to make bread without straw, and Moses went up to Mount Sinai to get the Ten Commandments. He died before he reached Canada. Later, we learned that David was a Hebrew skilled at playing the lyre. He fought with the Frankensteins, the Philistines, all right? Solomon, one of the sons, had 300 wives and 700 porcupines. How many of you know there's a limit to some knowledge of some people? Can I get a witness out there? Oh, I'm here to tell you. If I ask you to open your Bibles to the book of Hezekiah, if you start opening your Bible and flipping through the pages, it tells me one of two things. Number one, you're a new convert and you don't realize there's not a book of Hezekiah. Or number two, it tells me if you've been saved 50 years and you're looking for the book of Hezekiah, that you might need to sign up for the next Bible reading program. We need to know some things, folks. Knowledge is power. Glory to God. My people are destroyed. Paul said, Lord, let them know. If you could see all that God has planned, if you knew how close you were to a breakthrough, if you knew the power that God has for you and through you. We are limited by ignorance. Oh God, open the eyes of our heart. Let us know you, knowing God, knowing that what, listen, God knows best. We don't, but He does. Can you say amen tonight? We're limited by ignorance. We're limited by perspective. Isaiah said, my thoughts are not your thoughts. My ways are not your ways. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways and my thoughts than your thoughts. Perspective. Say perspective. Perspective is we see things from a perspective and God sees it from a different perspective. See, what you see is tomorrow morning at 9 o'clock, you got to be at work. What you're seeing is by February 28th, you got to pay that bill. But what God sees is the whole year. And what you don't see is that promotion that's coming. Amen. What you don't see is that you're going to keep yourself pure in your life and devoted to your future marriage. But what you see in front of you is a temptation. But what you don't see is how God will honor you when you've overcome that temptation, how He will bless you. Hello out there. We're limited by perspective. I want you to know that Florence Chadwick stepped into, we're talking about the Olympics. Well, here's a lady. In 1952, she stepped into the icy cold waters of the Pacific Ocean off the shore of Catalina. She had already been the first woman to swim the English Channel both ways. The English Channel, that's the area of water between England and France, that little about a 30-mile stretch that separates the continent from the Isle, the British Isle. And on this particular day, she was planning to swim from Catalina to the shores of California. She had already done it the English Channel. Now she was going to do it from Catalina to California. Y'all with me? Say amen. It was a cold and windy day, a choppy sea, and there was fog in the air. And I got to tell you about fog in just a minute. Florence Chadwick, in her youth and exuberance, began to swim to her goal, and she was in the water for 15 hours. The boats that went alongside of her and guarded her kept her going in the right direction, but on several occasions, her mother was on one of the boats, and she told her mother, "Mother, I'm tired. I need to get out of the water." But her mother kept encouraging her, "Keep going and you'll make it." And she just couldn't go any longer. And so finally they pulled her out of the water. And when she got out of the boat and she got in the boat, she realized as soon as she got her bearings that she was only a few hundred yards from the shore. The next day in the news conference, she made this comment. "If I could have seen the shore, I would have been able to keep on going." We're limited by perspective. I got up this morning and at my house on Lamb Road was the densest, heaviest fog. And I come one of two ways to church. If I want to go 90 miles an hour, I go the back way. If I want to obey the speed limit laws, I go down 64 Raleigh Road and Airport Boulevard. Excuse me, I need to pray and ask God to forgive me. Amen. Young people, don't let me see you going that fast. You go just fast enough that I can pass you and you're good. Amen. But listen, it was so foggy, I thought, I better not go the back way. I better not go the back way. It's so foggy, I better go down the main way. Because, you know, down the main way, more cars travel, the fog. Because I just knew it was just fog everywhere. And I said, no, I'm going to go the back way and I'll be all right. I wasn't going to go 90 mile hours this morning. I do not go 90 mile. I promise you, I do not. I go 70, but I don't go 90. I promise you. Okay. But listen, I went out of my driveway, Brother Philip, and expecting this thick, heavy fog. And about the time I got beyond Shiloh Church, it was gone. I was like, this is weird. And it was just as beautiful. And I thought, you know what? I almost went the long way around, got stopped by 15 stoplights just because it was based on some heavy fog at my door. And I remember seeing some heavy fog down the road. And I drove into that heavy fog. And after a few, before I got to Bloomery Road, it had lifted again and was pretty much clear. What are you trying to say, Pastor? I'm just trying to tell you, it's perspective. You may be in a fog tonight. You may think that it's all over, but it's not over. You keep moving forward. God knows what's best. If you believe it, give him a hand of praise. I said, fact number one, God knows what's best. Keep on moving forward. Don't let the fog of disappointment, the fog of hurt, the fog of not knowing all the, I don't know the answers. Well, you're not supposed to know all the answers. God has all the answers. Now unto him that is able to do according exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. Can you say amen? We're limited by perspective. We're limited by ignorance. We're limited by our strength. I'm going to expound this because I'm running out of time. We're limited by our strength. The foolishness of God is wiser than man. The weakness of God is stronger than man. Let me tell you what. God is strong. He is able. Say that with me. He is able. And that's a great fact about God. He knows what's best, and he's able to take care of you. We're limited by time. Are y'all with me? Everybody's in a hurry. Just like I said, going 90 miles an hour. We're in a hurry. Praise God. I'm 16 years old, and I'm an old person. Have you heard some of these young people talk? Pastor Nate has already done a great job, but we got to work on these young people. They really think they come into church, and here's what they say. I'm tired. I just want to pull out tissue and start crying. I started working at Best Buy. And 20 years I sat at a desk and had my nose in the Bible or in a book about the Bible. And then I thought, well, I go to the hospitals and I walk a lot, going to the big hospitals. You know, I get a walk in. But now I started working at Best Buy. And I'm telling you, my feet were getting tired, and I'd go home and I'd sit on that couch and my feet were just, oh, it's like, oh, just don't move me. None of these things move me. Nothing. But when I sat down, that was it, brother. And I'd go to work, and finally this 22-year-old kid, skinny, I mean a beanpole, I overheard him complaining. I said, what are you complaining about? Man, my feet are killing me. I said, thank you for telling me that. He's like, why? I said, because I just thought it was because I was 45 and old and big. But if your feet hurting you too, then it's all right with me. Praise God. I'm doing just as good as a 20. Well, glory to God. I'm about to shout tonight. Come on now. We don't have strength. But when I'm weak, he is strong. Give him a hand of praise here tonight. Amen. Don't be like Muhammad Ali. Some of you don't remember Muhammad Ali. Muhammad Ali, he was the fighting fellow when I was growing up. And I found out when he passed away that he had actually come to Wilson one time. Did anybody know that? Raise your hand if you knew he came to Wilson. Raise your hand if you saw him when he came to Wilson. Darren, son, you weren't that old, I promise you. Amen. You weren't a gleam in your grandmother's eye back then, I'm sure. But listen, Muhammad Ali was on a plane. Talking about human strength, talking about us doing it in our own strength. Muhammad Ali was on the plane, and the waitress said, I'm thinking about Cracker Barrel, Brother Elam. The stewardess said, you need to buckle up. Muhammad Ali said, yeah, Superman don't need no buckle up. And the waitress looked at him and said, and Superman don't need no plane either. You need to buckle up. Praise God for a friend. I don't care how strong we think we are. We need the strength of God. When we go through the difficulties, when we go through the fog, when we're limited by human ignorance, human strength, by our time. Time. Listen, time. The Bible says they will perish, but Lord, you remain. They will wear out like a garment. But you will roll them up like a robe, like a garment. They will be changed, but you remain the same. Your years never fade. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's not in a hurry. I tell you, one of the hardest things to learn in life is to wait on the Lord. Somebody say, wait on the Lord. Wait. It's a process. I just, the other day, I was praying about some things in my life. I said, Lord, do you know what I'm thinking? You know what I'm feeling? And I opened my Bible up, scratched right there, be still and know that I am God. Amen. Let me tell you something. There's nothing wrong with halftime. Am I preaching anybody out there tonight? Has anybody ever watched a football game before? Come on, raise your hand. Has anybody ever watched a basketball game? Come on, raise your hand. You know, you have the first half, and then you have, no, not second half yet. What comes for second half? Say it with me. Halftime, halftime. What happens in halftime? That's when you get off of the court, or you get off of the field. You go to the locker room, and you sit down, and you catch your breath. You kind of figure out what you messed up. Now you know what your enemy's up to. You can kind of adjust, make some adjustments. Then the coach gets up there and say, hey guys, this game ain't over yet. Turn around and tell somebody, it ain't over yet. Glory to God. Halftime is not wasted time. Brother, that's one of the most important times of a game. Games are won or lost a lot of times during the halftime. Did you see Super Bowl 51 last year? I'm not talking about this one. Oh, it was terrible. But this one this year, I'm not going to admit it, but I was for a certain team that didn't win. But that's all right. Y'all still love me anyway. And I didn't have a dog in hunt anyway. It's been like 1890 since the Cowboys was in it. So I know they're coming back again, but maybe by the year 2190, I don't know. But listen, please understand that in the Super Bowl 51 at halftime, the Patriots were losing bad, and down to the fourth quarter. But friend, it ain't over till it's over. It's a fact about God. He is not bound by time. He can speed up the harvest. There can be an end suddenly for your life. You be faithful. You trust Him. God, hallelujah, He knows what's best. Can you give Him a hand of praise tonight? It says, now unto him that's able. Say the word able. See, we have limitations. I just gave you our limitations. But let me give you the unlimited God. Scripture proves He has no limitations. David and Goliath. Peter walking on the water. Gideon's army of 300 against 32,000. The Red Sea parted. Daniel in the lion's den. Somebody say He's able. Nature proves that He's able. Scripture proves it. Nature proves it. The sun, the moon, and the stars, even the crashing of the waves can go but so far to where His mighty hand says, the morning stars sing for glory and the sons of God shout for joy. He holds it in the palm of His hand. Nature obeys God. Scripture proves it. Nature proves it. I want you to know the resurrection proves He is able. He died, but on the third day He came out of that grave triumphant over the grave, victorious. Oh grave, where is thy sting? And oh grave, where is your victory? The resurrection proves that He is able. Christian testimony proves that He's able. Does anybody want to testify that my God knows best? Does anybody want to come up tonight and take the microphone and say, I was going through the flood and I was going through the fire, but the Lord came through and He is able. And if He did it for me, I believe that He'll do it for you. Give Him another hand of praise here tonight. God knows best. Say it with me. God knows best. And number two implies from number one. Number one says He knows best. And number two, write it down. God can be trusted. If He knows best, then you know what? We need to trust Him. Say amen now. Now unto Him that is able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all that we ask or think. Ask or think. The implication is that there's limitations on our understanding, which means that God knows best, and then the rest of that is that God can be trusted. We can trust Him daily. Somebody say daily. This is not a Sunday religion thing. This is Monday. I can trust Him right now in this pulpit with His anointing, and I can trust Him tomorrow when I'm at the cash register at work. Trust me, I have to trust Him. And there's not a job that you're not going to have that you don't need to trust Him. You can trust Him when you've got standardized tests. When you're taking the GMAT. You can trust Him when somebody hurts your feelings. betrays you, talks bad about you, posts something on Facebook that's, you know, it was for you. Can I get a witness out there? You never had that happen to you? Well, you must not be on Facebook then. Come on. Yeah, I'm getting into it tonight. Amen. You can trust him daily. Give us this day our... The little girl was got excited. She said, oh, Lord, give us this day our jelly bread. Amen. But it's daily bread. Psalm 103. Who daily loadeth us with our benefits. You can trust him daily. You can trust him in ministry. I think one of the things I learn as I'm getting older in the Lord, I'm learning more and more to trust him in ministry. I look back over my life. I see, I'll never forget. It blows my mind to this day. I got a letter in the mail as a pastor. Dear Brother Ricky, I did not want you to speak at my father's funeral because you did not visit him in the hospital. Correction, I did visit him in the hospital, but I didn't stay 6 hours when he had a minor surgery, which the former pastor did. Y'all still love me tonight. At that time, the former pastor had a church of 20. Now I had a church of 120. I just was not able to. I didn't want you to speak at my father's funeral because we're so disappointed in you as a pastor. Blah, 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 blah. It crushed me. It made me weep. It hurt me to the core. This was 10 years ago. It still hurts me to the night. It hurts me so bad to think. Because I didn't mean to hurt them in any way. I would not do it for a thing. I honored that man. And she said some other things in there. And it wasn't a day. Maybe a couple of days later. Do you remember Brother Glenn Schwartz, Brother Jerry? Brother Glenn Schwartz was a man of God in my church, the same church. And I got an email, it was either email or Facebook Messenger. I can't remember. Back then, Facebook was real new, so I'm not sure exactly how I got the message. But it was almost within 24 hours, I got a message from one of his daughters, said, Pastor Ricky, I was just today thinking about what a wonderful job you did at my dad's funeral. Thank you for blessing our family. And I'm like, well, praise God. One loves you. One doesn't love you. When it's all said and done, Lord, I just give it all to you. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Don't let what one person says to you discourage you, because that just may be one. And you may have messed up. You may, hey, own up to it. Hey, if you didn't do right, if you didn't go for, own up to your mistakes. Learn from your critics. Learn when somebody gives you a mild rebuke. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. Please take advice and counsel and don't limit God by your own thinking you're right. But listen, don't dwell on it. Know that God is still working in your life. You can trust him in ministry. Well, I only have two in my class, but let me tell you, one of those may grow up to be the next conference bishop. Can you say amen? You be faithful. You go pick them up on the van. You teach them in Sunday school. My wife and I, we don't have physical children, but we're involved in these children's lives. And we travel, talk with them. I'm going, spending time with someone tonight. But I want you to know, I have to be careful, because if I say one, the rest of them will get jealous. Are you with me? I'm learning that that's a parent thing that I didn't catch. Can I get a witness out there? It's hard for me to tell a kid no. There's a man at Best Buy yesterday. His two daughters were in front of the most expensive television we sell, and they were like 16, 17, maybe 15, 16. And he was over there paying for something, and I just happened to walk up, and his two daughters were looking at that television like this. I said, hey, hey, man, sir, you see those girls over there? I think they want that TV. I ain't even getting that TV. Well, why not? They sure look like they're like it. Well, I bought them a car. That's why I can't get them that TV. Well, hey, if I bought them two a car and I had a choice between them out in the car and watching that TV, I believe I'd get the TV. So why don't you go on and get the TV? You don't want them up now running down the road. That was pretty good sales pitch, wasn't it? Oh, but let me tell you, friend, I said, it's hard for me to tell a kid no. But let me tell you, I'm involved in ministry. It makes a difference when you love on them, when you do your, when you teach, when you preach. Now, God knows best, and God can be trusted. If you have a church of 25 or a church of 2,000, if you have just a few on the van, I don't care what it is in ministry, just give it the best you got. God can be trusted. And thank God for those of you that are mailing out cards for our follow-up program. Amen? And we're really getting that thing worked in. And I really believe that in time to come, in this next Beyond Conference, we may be showing other churches of what a church our size can do. It got mighty quiet in here. But I believe that God's got something in mind for Westmoreland Church. Can you say amen? God's power can be trusted in ministry, in difficulty, eternally. Somebody say, number one, God knows what's best. Say, number one, God knows what's best. Number two, God can be trusted. Listen, according to the power that works where? Somebody say the word according. That's important. Go to Ephesians 3:20. And Brother Clark, get ready. Don't go to the piano yet, but get ready. I'm getting ready to call you. The word according means more. It literally means more God, more power. According to the power. The more God, the more God, more power. And the opposite, less God, less power. According to the power, you know, accordion goes back and forth. Listen, God can be trusted as power working in our life. And then the final fact about God, if you're ready for it, say amen. God has the final word. I said, God has the final word. Go to Ephesians chapter 21, my brother. Ephesians chapter 3, not Ephesians 21. That's like the book of Hezekiah. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 21. Y'all there? Unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. What's that last word? Amen. Somebody say amen. Somebody say amen. The final word. Amen. I want you to know that God knows what's best. Say amen. I said God knows what's best. God can be trusted. And number three, God has the final word. Let me tell you, cancer does not have the final word. Divorce does not have the final word. Rape does not have the final word. Alcohol does not need to have the final word. Failure does not have the final word. Bankruptcy does not have the final word. Satan doesn't have the final word. Sin does not have the final word. Mistakes do not have the final word. Disease does not have the final word. The grave, as dark and dreary as it is, lay me at that, underneath the cold, dark sod. That's not the final word. There's coming a great getting up morning. And I'm telling you, out of that grave, ain't no grave gonna hold my body down. God's got the final word over your life. And his word says you're blessed and highly favored. His word says you're coming out. His word says I'm gonna bless you coming in and going out. Nothing, no disaster, no disease, death, no what people say, not what people do, neither height nor death. It does not have the final word. Can you give the Lord a hand of praise here tonight? I had gone through a very difficult season, and I was leaving the church, the last church I pastored. I was leaving. I was praying about the future. I remember I pulled behind my house. I got, and we spent, me and my wife spent a whole day in prayer. She prayed in the house. I prayed out in the car. I love praying in my car, by the way. I love it. I love it. I just love privacy and I'll be honest with you. I was hurt. I was confused. Didn't understand why. Can I ask a question? Has anybody ever been there other than me? Haven't you been there? And it was a beautiful church and wonderful congregation. And I was having to leave. And I remember the Lord gave me a scripture, Brother Philip. And I was just praying. What I would do is I would pray for about an hour, and then I'd read for about 30 minutes. I'd pray for another hour, and I'd just do the whole day fasting and praying. And the Lord gave me this scripture. And I'll never forget it. In fact, I can pull it up on my Evernote app. But he gave me that scripture in Deuteronomy that says, "Blessed shalt thou be in the city, and blessed shalt thou be in the country." You will be blessed going in. You will be blessed going in, and you'll be blessed coming out. I'll never forget that scripture. I had talked with the bishop at the Cornerstone Conference, Bishop Doyle Marley, and I had an interview lined up at a church in Virginia. The bishop of the South Carolina Conference was lining me up for some things there, and I remember that next week was conference, and I said, "Lord," I got up early that morning, and I said, "Lord, I don't know which way to go, and I don't know what to do. But if you've got some, I don't want to leave North Carolina, but I'll go to South Carolina. I'll go to Virginia. I'll go wherever you send me. I'm wide open, God. You just tell me, I'll go." And I'm in it. I said, "Now, Lord, if you don't want me in North Carolina, then don't let me get elected to anything today, because there were some positions coming open." And I'm like, "Dear God," somebody said, "You're going to be." I said, "No, I'm not." And I don't politic. I said, "Lord, if I don't get elected to anything today, then that means my path is clear. That means you've got something for me maybe elsewhere. Are y'all okay with me sharing this?" And the bishop came up and he was elected, and I knew I wasn't going to get that. The evangelism director, I said, "No, I ain't going to get that. That Doug Bartlett got that." They had one more little office to elect. And I didn't say anything. And I had served on the examining committee before. Nobody told me they were going to nominate me. I said, "Okay, last office. If I don't get elected to anything, then Lord, I'll know to pursue other conferences. I'll obey you if that's what you want me to do." And next thing I know, somebody over there said, "Ricky Nelms for the examining committee." I like to fell out of my seat. And three or four other names, or not, it was about four other names nominated. And you had to vote by standing. And the most votes of the first two names got elected. So they said, "How many of you vote for Ricky Nelms?" And Brother Jerry, I'll never forget, I was sitting on the far corner of that conference. It was like that entire conference stood up. And when that entire conference stood up, I knew right then and there, God said, "Stay in North Carolina." When I saw those 180 people elected on the first ballot. And I wanted to kill that guy that nominated me. I was like, "Brother, I didn't tell you to do that." And when I was done with the conference, Brother Clark, come on up, because we'll be here all night. When I was done with the conference, listen to this now, I'm going to close. I was up there shaking hands, and Jim Whitfield walked up to me. And he didn't know what I prayed that morning. He looked at me and he said, "That vote today said that you have a place in North Carolina." And he turned around and walked away and never said another word to me. Let me tell you something. In ministry, in relationships, in what people do to you, hear me tonight. God has the final word. I may not like it. It may be painful. But as God spoke to me that day, "Son, I'll bless you going in. I'll bless you going out. I'll bless you in the city, and I'll bless you in the country." Aren't you glad about these facts about God? Would you stand with me tonight? Before you start playing, I just want you to lift your hands up tonight. Say, God, you can be trusted. Say it to God. God, you can be trusted. Say this. God, you know what's best. And God, you have the final word. We're talking about knowing God. And I'm going to share this, and Brother Clark's going to play, and this won't take but a second. But a lady, she knew the scriptures. She knew that scripture. I know whom I, she, first, 2 Timothy 1 and 12. I know whom I have believed, and I'm persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. She knew that scripture. She memorized it. She was a Bible student. But as she got older, her memory faded. And the last week of her life, all she could remember about those words of that scripture was this, that which I've committed unto him. She forgot the rest of the scripture, but just that one part, that which I've committed. It's all she could remember, that which I've committed to him. And in the last day of her life, when she was very weak and very feeble, there's only one word that she remembered from that scripture. And it was the last word, him. That's all you need to know. Can you lift your hands to him? Lord, I want to know you. I know him. Oh God, tonight, we bow on our knees like the Apostle Paul. And we proclaim like the 4th of July, you are able to do exceedingly and abundantly. There's more for Westmoreland. I pray the prayer of Jabez, who boldly prayed, enlarge our territory, our influence. Not us, but you through us. Folks, tonight, make this your prayer. Paul prayed this, but will you make it your prayer? Would you step out of your seat? Young people, you're at a very early part of your life. You need to know these three facts. That God has the final way. God can be trusted. God knows what best. Knows what's best. If he tells you no, it's because of a greater yes. Somebody say greater yes. If God says no, don't think of it as no. Think of it as no with a greater yes to come. Would you step out of your seat and would you make this your prayer tonight? Father, we come like the Apostle Paul. Maybe you want to bow on your knee tonight. Maybe in your heart. You don't have to do it physically, but just bow before him in your spirit tonight and trust him tonight. Lord, we know, we want to know you, God. We want to know you, God. We want to know that you are mighty. Hallelujah, God. We bless you tonight. Lord, I love you. Lord, I praise you tonight. Yes. Oh, God, thank you that you're blessing the city. You're blessing the country. Oh, God, thank you, Lord, that you have the final word. Not people, not events. Oh, God, not disappointments. You've got the final word, God. Oh, God, thank you tonight. Thank you tonight. Thank you tonight, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I bless you tonight. Hallelujah. God knows what's best. Yes. Yes, Lord. God knows what's best in your life.